Get my notes open. This morning I'm blessed with Mother's Day, this weekend, today. My wife and I, we've talked about different times of, you know, preaching and how it could look or what, you know, different topics we could talk about or whatever. And so with Mother's Day happening, I thought, why don't you help me preach today? And so we put together a message, like I have talked about through the day, about the mother's love. And there's different examples through scriptures of the mother's love that exemplifies, really, that reflects God's love. And so we're going to talk about some of that today, but she's going to begin.
Yeah, so I think we're getting some ringing with having two microphones, so you have to bear with us a little bit. Yeah, so my husband often gets the joy of starting out with a joke. So I thought I would take a try at humor this morning. This is a story that I related to when I saw it. A mother was tucking her little one into bed. It was the night before his fifth birthday, and they had been practicing putting up his four fingers, that he is four, and then adding his thumb because he was turning five. So that night, tucking him in, the mother said, "How many fingers are you tonight?" And the little one held up the four fingers. And then the mom said, "And what will you be tomorrow?" And the little one said, "A handful." Yes. Children are a handful. Motherhood is the most difficult, awful, wonderful, amazing thing. If you're a mom, you know that. It's not always easy, but it's so worth it. And mom, you are doing an important job.
Amen. Amen. I have the best wife and the best mom. And I have an awesome mother, too, who's probably watching live to if it's going. Awesome. Hi, Mom. We love you. I don't know how many people watch our YouTube video, but I know one does. Every Sunday afternoon, my mom texts me, "Good sermon, bub." So what I've learned from them and from observing some of you is that wives, moms, you can volunteer your husband, your father, for pretty much anything, and we will do it. Whether you bribe us or you guilt trip us or you simply say, "Well, I already signed you up," and we can't back out on that, right? And so the dads go, "Okay, we're going to do this, okay?" You love when we tell some personal stories about our family and just get to know us a little more. And so I have a doozy for you today, okay? We were part of a commercial. I'm a famous actor, if you haven't seen it. It's really big in Western North Dakota, okay? Just kidding. But after Levi was born, a friend of ours, he was born in Williston, and a friend of ours worked for the hospital in public relations, and they had just built a new birthing center. And so she asked my wife if we would be willing or want to act in a commercial about the birthing center. And so Becky thinks it would be an awesome idea. So she says yes, and then tells me about it later. Isn't that how it usually goes, men? Yeah, yeah. Okay. She tells me, "All you have to do, just stand there. I'll do the acting. I'll do the talking, holding Levi. Okay, you just have to be there." All right, whatever. So let's watch the commercial, okay? And pay attention. Pay attention. We're in the opening scene right away, but then it's throughout. But see who's sleeping in the background of our scenes, okay?
Let's see if we can find out what's going on. A few deep breaths.
Need some makeup?
Hi. Oh, morning.
Morning.
How are you doing today?
At CHI St. Alexius Health, we believe better care leads to better health.
Okay, yeah, we're famous, dude. And my acting was on. I had to memorize all those lines too. And but the background of that, we show up that day, and it's in a normal hospital room. But everybody else is just actors. Why don't you get a real nurse? This lady wasn't a nurse. The doctor wasn't a doctor. The room was full of the film crew, and they're telling us all these different things to do. And I'm like, I came just to stand here, and she gets to lay in the bed the whole time, and they're telling me, now say this, now do this. Levi's sleeping through the whole thing, so I don't know if you heard the cry. That's like a fake, you know, voiceover crying. And they're like, pretend you can't calm him down. Like, oh my goodness, I just came here to stand here. But it was a fun time, and they played the commercial in our movie theater there so many times, and literally for 2 years later, I would still get people come to me like, hey, I saw you in a commercial. Like, oh, great, here we go.
So what he's doing is saying, thank you, honey, for making me famous, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You're very welcome that I made you famous. Because we all know that behind every great man, there is a woman who got him there. So I got you to be famous. Moms today, we understand that sometimes Mother's Day is not easy. Sometimes Mother's Day is rough. And today we say that we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn with those who mourn. So today, if it's hard for you, this is your family. So today, find a hug in the lobby. And today, if this is a happy one and you've got your kids with you, we rejoice with you. We honor you. So, yeah, for that. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
No matter how our relationship is with our mom or with our children, we can all learn from mothers, whether they're our biological mother, spiritual mother, women who have shown God's love. I have youth leaders that have been moms to me, and so many grandmas in the church that have been a blessing, and we can learn from them as they show us God's love through their life. There are a lot of qualities in a mother's love that reflects the love of God. And so we're going to take a look at a few of those from the Bible. If you want to turn and kind of follow along, we're going to do three different ones. The first is in Exodus chapter 1. So Exodus is the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. And Genesis ends telling the story of Joseph. His father is Jacob. And if you remember, Jacob is also called Israel at the end of Genesis. Jacob moved his family to Egypt when Joseph had favor with the king, Pharaoh. And so Joseph has great power and influence for many years. The Israelites multiplied, okay? Generations go by, and we get to Exodus 1, okay? In Exodus 1, so Genesis happens, Exodus begins, and Joseph dies. The king who Joseph served, okay, the king who Joseph had favor with, he has died. And the Bible says this new king comes, and he doesn't know Joseph. That's a key word for the rest of Exodus, okay? He doesn't know Joseph. He's threatened by the amount of Israelites in his country. There's millions, and their country is large, but he's fearing that at some point these Israelites could turn against us and they could overpower us. And so he takes drastic, very evil measures to limit their population. He oppresses them with slave labor, and he works them ruthlessly. He commanded Hebrew midwives, those who assist in birthing babies, to kill the baby boys. You can let the girls live, but destroy the baby boys. But these were brave women who are full of faith, and they were God-fearing, the Bible describes them, and they would not obey the Pharaoh, the king. In verse 20 of Exodus 1, it says, "So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own." That's a powerful scripture. So those are women, not yet mothers, right? And God is blessing them for their obedience to him. And they get families of their own. But the king does not relent. The king sees, okay, if this isn't going to work, oh, we're going to try something else. He orders all Hebrew baby boys to be thrown into the Nile River. I know you're thinking this is supposed to be an uplifting Mother's Day message. What's happening, Pastor Kevin? Okay, just hold on. Just stick it out here. We don't know the threat or the punishment that the king was going to do to those families that didn't follow his orders. We don't know how many babies died in this moment. But what we do know is about one mother's tremendous faith in God. Her name is Jochebed, the mother of Moses. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, says, "When she saw that he was a fine child," or your Bible might say a beautiful child, a special child, "she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile." Like most moms, she saw something special in her boy. And because of her faith in God, she's actually mentioned in Hebrews 11, what we would call the Hall of Faith, the Faith Hall of Fame, because she defied the king's edict and hid Moses until she could not any longer. Then she builds a little boat for him, places him among the reeds on the shore, hoping that someone of the Egyptians would rescue him. She literally is putting the fate of her baby in the hands of God, putting her faith and trust in him to somehow save this boy. God uses another inspiring woman to continue the life of Moses. Verse 5, Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opens it, sees the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Check this miracle out. Then his sister, Moses' sister, asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Should I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go." So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Okay? And Pharaoh's daughter says to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water."
What an amazing, amazing way that God worked in Moses' life. Pharaoh's daughter could have obeyed her dad. She could have dumped Moses, just like all the other Hebrew babies, but she saves him. And God gave Miriam favor with Pharaoh's daughter, which, how did that happen? And that Moses' own mother got to nurse him, got to be with him through that part. And then Moses' mother, having faith in God, puts him in that basket and lets him go. Can't even imagine what that would have been like. She had the strength to trust God with her baby. And when he grows up, she returns him to Pharaoh's daughter. Or he goes back to Pharaoh's daughter, who gets the privilege of naming him Moses. God would anoint him leader of the Israelites and use him to lead them out of slavery. But he did so because of the faith of his mother. Her selfless love and dedication drove her decision to trust God with Moses' life, despite the punishment she could face for disobeying the king's order, despite the risk it was to place him in a floating basket, despite how much I can imagine she wanted to keep him. She let him go. She chose life for her baby boy, and she entrusted him with God.
Amen. The next couple of stories we're going to look at are shorter because we just don't have a lot of information about them. But the mother's love and their faith is so evident. If you turn a few books later to 1 Samuel, it tells us about Hannah. Hannah is a woman who's unable to have children. Year after year, she would go to with her husband to worship the Lord at Shiloh. And the way they would do this, they worship the Lord throughout the year, but this would be a special time where they would go to the house of the Lord in this place called Shiloh, and they would bring their sacrifices. It would be more than just a couple hour church service. It would be, you know, a couple days. And it was with the intent of worshiping the Lord and bringing those things to him. As she would go, other ladies, a rival, the Bible talks about, isn't this crazy, would taunt and irritate her because she had no children. So already she's upset that she doesn't have kids, but then when she comes to worship the Lord, she's being made fun of because she doesn't have the blessing of children. Wow. This went on year after year. I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is happening over and over. Every time she went to the house of the Lord, years go by. Crazy story, okay? Finally, one time she's had enough, and she's praying in verse 11 and makes a vow to God in her prayer. Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. That was a way that they would show their dedication to the Lord. So fast forward to verse 20. In the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. So in verse 26, she dedicates him. She says to Eli, who is the prophet or the priest in that time, pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped, Samuel worshiped the Lord there.
Yeah. What amazing faith Hannah had. The dedication to the Lord. That year after year, when her dreams weren't coming true, she trusted God. She prayed. She knew that he could do miracles. Takes a lot of faith. She pled with God to have a child, recognizing the birth of her son was a miracle gift from God. She gives him back to the Lord. When we can see God's love in a mother's love, I know that not all moms are great at this. We're not born naturally perfect moms or awesome. Not all moms are great at this, but most moms love their children with a never-ending love. Most moms love their babies at their very worst. Man, some days I want to strangle them. But I love them. I believe better for them. I believe that they're going to get there. So mom, keep believing in those babies at their worst. Moms show selflessness and dedication. Moses' mom chose life for him and put him in a basket, trusting God to care for him over time with her. Hannah pled with God to have a child, and then she gave him to the temple to be raised there. She dedicated him to God, and he was used mightily. We realize that our children are from the Lord. And when we selflessly give them back to the Lord, he will fulfill his promises for them. And his ways are higher than our ways, and we can trust him.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Moms, we moms pass down their faith. Our last example of an inspiring mother is actually a couple of generations of mothers. Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament letters, knew Timothy very well and his family. Obviously, they had a connection and they knew each other well. He mentored Timothy, raising him like a spiritual son. In his second letter to Timothy, he tells how deep faith that Timothy has because of how his mom passed it down and as it was passed down to her from her mother. So in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, he writes, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Mothers, you can have, and women, you can have great impact on your children's spiritual lives by moms living out their faith, practicing your faith, instilling your faith on your children. Okay, you're laying a strong foundation of faith for that child. They may believe in the Lord when they're young. They may believe in the Lord later on as they get older. They may walk away from the faith. And you may question, what happened to the promise God said? If I train up my child, he's in the way they should go. You know, he'll never stray from it, but my children are straying from it. Okay? It's in there. Okay? So stay with them. Stay faithful. By you instilling it in their life, it will always be in their heart and in their mind. They may fill their life with other stuff and push it down, okay? But the Holy Spirit, God, will continue to remind them, okay? I've read this verse a couple of times, but there's some promises that I want to go over with you. Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn away from it." Meaning it's always going to be there. I've heard testimonies of people, you know, up into their 50s and 60s that remember, you know, I was on my worst day and this verse that I memorized in Sunday school popped in my head. How does that happen? Because the Word of God is in you if it's been instilled in you, right? It's there. It's not going to go away. The next verse kind of goes along with it, Isaiah 55:11. "So will my word," God says, "be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty," or void, your Bible may say. God's word, when it's placed in the life of the child, will be there forever. Okay? It'll pop up in their minds, okay, when they need it the most. It's going to be there. Keep praying. If you have, like we prayed during our time after worship, if you have children that have gone away from the Lord, or siblings, or I don't know how we were both raised the same way. How come one is with the Lord and the other is not? Just keep praying. Keep praying. We've talked about the enemy and spiritual warfare of, you know, there's the devil doesn't want us to follow the Lord. And so he's going to do stuff to try to get us away from him. But greater is God in us than the devil that's in the world. And so continue to pray. Don't give up, okay? And you'll see it And it'll come, your children will come around. Just keep praying and keep having faith. Finally, parents, and I'll throw dads in here too. We are the primary spiritual leaders in our households, okay? In our children's life, we are the leaders spending the most time with them. You can bring your children to church, and it's very important, okay? But we're only here a couple hours a week, right? You're with your kids all the time. Encourage them in the faith. Teach them. Ask them questions. Read the scripture to them. Use Christian educational resources. We have a toolbox sitting out on the coffee counter there. To equip you is the symbol of that. And so we've provided right now media. We've provided Bible engagement project for you. There's a physical Bible. You're free to take that Bible if you need a Bible, or if you have someone that you would like to give it to. That Bible's free. We have more of them if you need more. Okay, we want to equip you to help instill in your children the faith that we've preached about today, that down the generations from now, they can look back and say, wow, my grandparent, if they hadn't been saved, I don't know if I would be saved right now, right? In that chain of faith that is passed down through generations. The best thing that you can do for your child is to introduce them to Jesus. He's the only one that loves your child more than you do. We think, man, nobody loves my son better than me, right? Well, God loves them. And it's his desire that no one would perish. He wants to spend eternity with everybody. So he's crying out for your children as much as you are, okay? Keep praying, keep teaching, keep reading. You may say, and I don't know, how do I teach the Bible? I don't even know the Bible very well. Do something, okay? Read to them, okay? It's better than not doing anything, okay? There's help out there, and so I just encourage you, as you're spending time with your children, instructing them in the Word, powerful things will happen in their life. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." Okay? As we teach, as we instruct, it's going to be on their life, is what the verse is meaning. It's going to be adorning them their whole life. Moms teach us so much about faith.
Yeah. So good. So good. We can trust Jesus. It's hard sometimes. We're the mom. We know best. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed. Sometimes we feel alone. We can trust Jesus. He is our helper. We can trust him with our life. We can trust him with our children's life. And we can trust him with our dreams for them. We can trust him with our dreams that we have, that we wonder, what about this? Why isn't he answering? He is there. He is there. God does care, and he is a help for us. As we talked about Moses' mother giving him up and trusting God, now we can see all of that story, but she couldn't see it when she put him in the basket. And we talk about Hannah begging God for a child. And we can see what God did through Samuel. But Hannah didn't know. She had to trust that God was going to come through. God is able to keep all that we entrust to him. And he is our helper when we are overwhelmed.
Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. We'll kind of begin to wrap it up. Psalm 121 I want to read from. Psalm 121, verse 1 says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from?" Have you ever prayed that? Moms, dads too, right? Oh, I need help. Where does my help come from? Where am I going to find help for my children? Okay, then verse 2 answers this question. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. So stand firm, parents. Stand firm in the word. Stand firm in your faith. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall strike you by day. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forward, forevermore, the psalm promises. God is with you. He's your help. He's with you. He's your strength. There's so many verses we could talk about. He's our ever-present help in time of need. All the time, God is there.
Amen. When things are hard and when we do not understand, God is faithful. He's faithful. Hold on. Your story is not finished. Maybe you're in that moment. Maybe you're Moses' mother and you've had to let things go. Mm-hmm. You've had to let them go. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've lost things. Maybe you're Hannah and your dream doesn't look anything like what you thought it would be. We have dreams and hopes for our future. We have dreams and hopes for our kids. And sometimes we're in the middle of it going, this is not at all what I thought it would be. Maybe you're Timothy's grandma. Maybe you're Timothy's mom. Maybe you're in that moment, you're like, I'm doing my best here to instill faith, and it doesn't seem like they're getting it at all. Maybe you're spending that time pouring into them, and you wonder, does this matter? Does this have any effect on their future? And maybe you don't know what you're doing at all. Sometimes it's overwhelming, but God has a plan.
Amen. Amen.
We look to Him.
Yeah.
We have help in this.
Yeah.
And He is able.
Amen.
He is able. Don't ever give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Amen. Trust Him. Look to Him. Mm-hmm. Maybe He's telling you, let things go. Yeah. Maybe He's telling you, my dream is different than your dream. Yeah. Life may not be what you think, but it can be so good.
Amen.
We look to Him.
Would you stand with us as we close? I want to close in prayer, and we would love to pray with you today. I want to leave you with this verse, Psalm 27, 13 to 14. It says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see the goodness of the Lord in blank. Whatever your need is, whatever your family situation, whatever your children's situation, whatever your personal situation, remain faithful in that promise. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Okay? I want to encourage you guys. We're going to close with a song. You know, I would love to have some prayer time with you. A couple things on my heart to pray for. There was a time in Williston and probably in other church life too, but when there was moms that could not have children and we would pray and pray. And for some reason, this one moment, like four moms who hadn't been able to get pregnant for years, all had babies at the same time. And that's a powerful thing. And so if you're in that situation, we'd love to pray with you for that. If you're in the situation, anything else we've talked about, if you'd like prayer for healing in in your kids' life, spiritual healing, and if they're a prodigal son or daughter, they've walked away from the Lord, and we want to pray for them to come back, and we'd love to pray for that. So Heavenly Father, God, we love you, Lord, and we just pray a blessing over our moms and the relationships in their families. Lord, as we close in prayer today, help us to deal with what we need to deal with. If it's giving up something that we've held on to, or we've tried to solve issues on our own, and when we just give that to you, that you would bring healing. Lord, if whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, God, we just bring that to you today. Church, would you sing with the worship team? If you would like prayer as we close, just come forward.